The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans piece.
You have no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 336. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. About a week ago, I journeyed to downtown Columbus to attend the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus media event that was held at Seventh Son Brewery. Now, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus, or as we like to call it, CXC, it's a celebration of cartooning, of comic strips, of comic books, of just comic art in general. And it happens every single year here in Columbus, Ohio. It's been going on, I think this is the ninth year of it. And it's a fantastic event. There are programming and different things going on throughout the city, whether it's at the downtown Columbus Metropolitan Library, or it's on the campus of OSU, or at the Museum of Art. It's a weekend of great, awesome art. And if you're a fan of any of those types of genres, cartoons or comic strip or comic books or whatnot, you owe it to yourself to check it out. It happens in October. And probably the best thing for me to do is just tell you, go to cartooncrossroadscolumbus.org. That'll have all the information for you to schedule a trip to the wonderful capital city of Ohio to see CXC. With that being said, it was at this event where I met today's guest. And the man that I'm talking about is Robbie Raw Melendez. He's a comic book creator that just moved to the Central Ohio area not too long ago from Indiana. And he and I sit down and chat about his project that he has going on, Rebel Roach versus Rocket Punch Susie, and a couple of other things in the pipeline. So Robbie's a really enthusiastic creator, and I dig that. And I met him through Jack Wallace, actually, as I said, at the CXC. And we talked a little bit, and I definitely wanted to have him come on and talk all about his experience creating comics. He's got a very unique background, and so I'm really happy that he took some time out of his very busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. We're going to get to that conversation in just one moment, but before I do that, I want to thank once again the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and folks, you hear me say it all the time, but WG Comics, as the kids call it, I actually have no idea if the kids call it that. Let's just go with it, though. Let's go with it. Anyways, I don't know what I'm doing with this promo. But nonetheless, World's Greatest Comics is a five-star comic book store. I mean, they got it all, man, for your fandom. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters. I mean, they got literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of back issues. So if you're missing some important issues to whatever you collect, whether it's Spider-Man, Batman, The Incredible Hulk, whatever, I'm sure Jeff and the fine folks at WG Comics got you covered. So stop on over to the store. As I mentioned, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online, WGComics.com, or find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Robbie Raw Melendez. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with a comic book artist, Robbie Raw Melendez. Robbie, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me here.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to start off real quick just asking. I have your business card here, and you put down that you're an artist and a storyteller. I don't think I've ever heard a comic book creator refer to themselves as a storyteller. I mean, it's appropriate. It's accurate. Mm-hmm. But why use that term?
So I do a lot of other stuff. Okay. I've had a journey in life. So I started as sort of a geek lifestyle blogger while I was working like dead end jobs, and the blogging thing kind of took off unknowingly. But this was back before, you know, like the Avengers were a thing, before Marvel movies took over, and it was when video was becoming the new thing. And so to kind of keep my site, you know, cutting edge or whatever, I would really just study documentaries and filmmaking and try and put out cool video content for people. And then, you know, pair that with the writing portion of the site. And then I always had that love of comics and writing. And I write other things. I'm working on a novel. I help other people write. I do freelance writing on the side. Helping pitches for animated shows and things like that. So more than just comic writing.
Okay. Well, it's a great marketing. I know that it means more than just that, but it's great marketing for you as well. Because like I said, I mean, talking to hundreds and hundreds of indie comic creators, I don't think I've ever heard, you know, I'm an artist and a writer, you know, that's what they always say. And so I think I think it makes you stand out.
Thank you. It's funny you say that. My last like real full-time job, I applied for this place. The company I was working at, I was like creative director and everything was great. And they actually got shut down. They went out of business. So I was like last minute panicking and I hadn't made a resume in years. So I put that on my resume and it was for a pizza chain out of Indianapolis, Hot Box Pizza. And in the interview, the owner was like, your resume stood out because you had storyteller. And I like that. That's what we need in marketing. All good marketing stories. And he like really kind of tooted that horn for me. So it just sort of stuck.
So what are some similarities between the world of marketing? As you mentioned, you have a background in it. So what are some of those similarities between making comics and what you would do on a daily basis in a marketing job?
I think there's two sides to it. There's the visual side. And then there's the storytelling side, which is very, you know, the best marketing is emotional. They're not selling you the bells and whistles of a product, the ins and outs of how it works. It's all that emotional response of how it can make you better or make you happier, whatever. And stories are the same thing. You can have like really great world building and really cool characters on their own as individual pieces, but if that story doesn't emotionally pull you, it's not going to have that same weight. And then on the design side of things, it's funny. There's so many times I would refer to like how to draw the Marvels way while I had Photoshop up and was like putting an ad together. Or one thing, I do video editing. So there's like a famous page in how to draw the Marvel way where it's all the stages or steps of this guy throwing a baseball. It's like the wind up and then a bunch of shots all the way to the pitch. And they're saying the most important three is like that first one, the last one, and then the one in the middle at the height of the motion. So when I would do video editing, I would always look for that. Like, where am I going to cut? Where's the height of the motion? So that kind of stuff is all just burned into my brain.
So was your last marketing job with Hot Box Pizza before you moved to the Columbus, Ohio area?
Yep. Okay. I was working there, and then I was hoping I really wanted to like work remote for them, but they do a lot of local stuff. They're really involved with the local community, so like we need somebody like in our zip code. So luckily, I mean, I was stuck in my house for 2 years, so I had some money saved up. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pursue comics full time, and that's what I've been doing.
So how did you end up in the Central Ohio area?
Oh yeah, my fiance, she got headhunted by Abercrombie and Fitch. We both met in the fashion industry. So I met her in Pennsylvania. We worked for this company. They made like the leotards for the gymnastics teams, like Team USA and all that stuff. Yeah. So they did like gymnastics and cheer was their main thing. So we met there. She was a pattern maker. And then at the time I was the dude who like, I made like jewels. I bedazzled the garments like digitally. I did the digital bedazzling before I got like sent to a machine or whatever. And then eventually I made my way into marketing there. And we both bounced to Indy for a totally different job. And then that wound up going under. So we bounced over here. It's been a crazy past 6 years.
I was going to say, and I think you should add that to your card. Digital bedazzler. I think that would sound. Yeah. In all seriousness, was it a little bit of a difficult decision to say, I'm going to really jump both feet right into this comic book, you know, creation to do what I want to do? Because let's be honest, it is a scary, I guess, endeavor for some people, because you have to ask, you know, paying the bills and if you have rent and you got car payments and all the stuff that life throws at you because, you know, it's life. So was it a difficult decision or an easy one?
Oh, hell yeah. It was scary, but easy. Like I knew I was going to do it. But like, I'm still scared. But luckily, like I still freelance. So companies reach out to me. I've just met a lot of people in all the jobs I've had. So I'm always getting referred for stuff. Okay. So right now I'm working with the company, helping them with their website and doing some video editing. So that stuff kind of keeps me afloat. Now I'm at the point where I have to like say no to things so that I can focus more on the comic, because I'm never going to finish it working for other people. I really have to like be all in.
Gotcha. Well, let's go back a little bit, if you don't mind, Robbie. Were you always a creative kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was always the weirdo who was not paying attention and drawing on things.
Did you get support from your family for this, you know, for your creative endeavors?
Oh, man, no. So I got into comics. I actually hated drawing when I first tried it because I couldn't do it. And I remember throwing like a tantrum. But then in first grade, I moved to this new school. I moved to Pennsylvania from Florida. And from what I was used to, that recess bell hit, all the kids would like run like outside. Like now you get to go play. You don't have to learn. Pencils down. But there was this group of kids that would stay inside. And I never understood why. I was like, are they all sick at the same time? Like, why don't you want to play outside? What's wrong with you? And the teacher let them have a comic book club, like an art club. So they would all, during recess, while everybody was playing, they would all be pulling out the new issues of X-Men they got or whatever and showing like the new characters. Oh, this is this guy. This is his powers. And I drew him. And we just started trying to like outdraw each other. I stopped going to recess and I would just hang out with these kids and try and draw. That's where I found out about like Wizard Magazine. So we'd have like the new Wizard Magazine, try to draw the sexy girls that were in it or whatever. Or whatever the cool cover was, we try and like recreate it and see who did the best one. And I mean, that was first grade. I'm 38 now, so it never left. It's always been in me.
Cool. Who were some of your favorite comic book characters or superheroes growing up?
I mean,
now, let's you're still a fan now, obviously.
Oh, so yeah.
Let's not limit it to just childhood. You know, just who are some of your faves?
When I was a kid, I had terrible taste in comics. I was just a pervert and liked anything with scantily clad women. So I loved Gen 13. J. Scott Campbell was like my favorite artist. I had almost every issue of Gen 13. I mean, I still have them all. That was like huge for me. It had like potty humor and babes. That was all I needed. But now I'm getting into like the older stuff that I couldn't really appreciate back then. So like, I recently got into Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, and it's like blowing my mind. I'm mad at myself that it took me this long to read it. And especially like, I've read like all the books on writing comics and all the books on drawing comics and the stuff they're doing, especially in the earlier issues of that run. It's just so out there and different and artistic and creepy and scary, but just really imaginative and deep. That's like something I'm really into right now.
You know, you mentioned babes, and you know, I gotta say that I always took flack for Catwoman, Jim Balance Catwoman.
Yeah,
friends used to give me flack, like, you just like it because of the boobs and that. But actually, it was a well written book as well. I mean, Jim Ballant obviously had that over the top, ridiculous, you know, no woman has that anatomy.
Yeah. You know, yeah, for
style
sure.
to it. But Joe Duffy and Chuck Dixon wrote some really good stories to go along with it. But, you know, of course, you know, I'm not gonna lie, that first issue, pick yeah. that up. I'm gonna take that home. And then I realized, hey man, this was actually was a good story. So
yeah, that's how they get it in your hands. That's a selling point.
Absolutely. You know, and let's be honest, Rob Liefeld made a career out of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So any other favorites besides Swamp Thing?
I just read a new one just came out. I Hate This Place.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's Image. Gotten a lot of buzz.
It is really freaking cool. I mean, first issues are hard. I'm on revision 148 by now or something of mine. And just the stuff they do so seamlessly, it's really cool. I like that book a lot. And then Sandman is another one I'm getting into late. Kind of liking it, but also kind of just mesmerized. I'm trying to like, I'm not reading it for enjoyment. I'm reading it to figure out the inner workings. So I'm enjoying it less than I probably should. So I feel like I have to turn that writer side of my brain off, or the artist part of my brain off, and just kind of let it wash over me.
Does that happen to you frequently?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So frequently you're pulled in two different directions of just reading it to enjoy it and then to look at it technically, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. My fiance probably hates watching shows with me because I can, once I have a good idea for where the character arc's going, I can usually predict what's going to happen, even if it's something that you're not supposed to be able to predict. And she's always like, how did you know that? Why did you know that? I'm like, well, because it had to happen, because they're following all the rules of writing. So like, that's what had to happen. That's what I would have done.
Okay. Well, let's talk about one of your projects, Rebel Roach versus Rocket Punch Susie. Can you give a little summary about this project?
Yeah, it's like I don't want to call it like a throwaway issue. It's just a one-off, silly, fun comic between my character, Rocket Punch Susie, and my uncle's character, Rebel Roach. And it's about a girl who orders a jetpack online. Instead of a jetpack, it's this weird glove. So she goes to hunt down the guy who sold it to her with the return address, and gets caught up in this weird fight between a demon and a giant cockroach that's piloted by a teenage boy. Weird stuff. Very weird stuff.
Have you gotten any feedback on that comic? Because it's posted, correct, on your website. Am I correct on that?
So the whole thing's free online. We just did a Kickstarter, and now we have a print copy. It was part of this. I found this thing years ago, like, I don't even know how many years ago now, EnterVoid.com. It is an online community. It's a comic battle website to help artists hone their skills. So you come up with a character, you do a full character sheet, front, back, full color, and then you do a 3 or 4 page intro story to go along with the character, and then a summary of like the personality traits. And then you submit that, and the people who run the site, they can approve it, deny it. Once you're approved, you can start challenging other people. They can challenge you to different types of battles. So there's okay. there's permadeath battles where your character dies and you can't use them on the site anymore. They have scar battles where your character has to get a scar and they keep them forever. Or they'll have resurrection battles where all the dead characters come back to life for like bracket style tournaments.
Okay.
So that's where we did it. And I won. I beat my uncle out. But it kind of wasn't fair. He went into a coma while we were doing it.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, he got COVID and wound up getting put in a coma. He was in a coma for like 10 days or so. For those 10 days were pretty brutal because we weren't sure. Like, we just didn't know. But the Void community was really cool. People started doing fan art of his character, and they send it to me and be like, everybody's rooting for him. So like, I'd send it over to him like when he woke up. And then on the year anniversary of him coming out of a coma, that's when we launched the Kickstarter. We were funded like 3 hours.
Well, let's talk about the project that you have with Kickstarter that just funded. Tell us a little bit about it.
We took that online battle we did. We reformatted it for print. And then we did some other extras. Like my uncle, I'm a digital artist. He's the traditional guy. He's been drawing since the 80s or whatever. So he offered commissions. He was selling full pages And it's cool because you get to see both of our art styles side by side instead of the way it's formatted on the website. You're going to have to click his character to read his story and then mine. But this way, they're sort of more interwoven, the way the page layout is. So it reads a bit better. And then you get both of our characters' intro stories. So it reads kind of seamless, as opposed just to just the battle, which I think was like 16 pages. So the final product is 22 with about 2 pages of bonus content, just like, or 4 pages of bonus content. Me trying to learn how to draw his character because it is so hard to draw. It's like the most detailed. It's a giant roach with all these missiles in his back. I don't know how he draws that thing like on the regular.
We're talking about Kickstarter. I have to ask, because I ask many indie comic creators that come on the PVD cast, what is your thoughts about Kickstarter? I have found, Robbie, that there's people that love it and there's people that hate it. There's no one in the middle. So are you going to be the first one in the middle, or do you have the spectrum of hate and love?
I'm probably in the middle because we didn't take it too seriously. We set our goal very low. We knew pretty much just friends and family were going to support. And some other people did, which was fine, but it was still mostly friends and family. So okay. We went in with expectations that were pretty low, and they were met and not blown away. So, I mean, I personally, I think just because I've wanted to make comics professionally to some degree for so long, I don't see myself as the type of person that could just do Kickstarter and have that be what I do with my stories. I want my stuff out in stores in different states in people's hands. That's kind of the road I want to take.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation, ladies and gentlemen, for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs, and they are a proud sponsor of this podcast. So you need to stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. So check out at WGComics on Facebook. And if you interact with anybody from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from yours truly, right here on the PVD cast. Well, you won an award. In fact, you won first place in the Negative Space Comics writing competition. Can you tell us a little bit about the competition and, you know, what are your feelings about winning that competition?
Man, I didn't deserve it. The competition, I heard a podcast where the founders were being interviewed and talking about it. And one of the things they said was, it's just a good way to give yourself a deadline to reach. Like, even if you have no expectations of winning, and that's something I've always struggled with my own stuff. It's funny because I've almost always been a freelancer to some degree for like design, video stuff, marketing, whatever. And I'm so good with other people's deadlines. But when it comes to my own stuff, I'm terrible. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, hard deadline. I'm going to pay the entry fee. So now if I don't hit the deadline, I'm out money and that sucks. So I send this script out and it's the same character, Rocket Punch Susie, but it's a reimagining of her origin story. So she's not the book with my uncle. She's kind of like goofy and it's very goofy. This is a more serious thing that I wanted to kind of incorporate lots of my influences, lots of things I wish there was more of in comics. So there is a lot more diversity. It takes place on a other planet, I guess. It's never named, but it's all inspired by the Caribbeans or Hispanic culture. Because I feel like a lot of fantasy, if it's set in another world, everybody's just British and thespian for some reason. It's all like thespian white guys. So I was like, okay, like I want like an intermingling of my people, I guess. So they're eating like the food I grew up with on a foreign planet. And it's just an aside that you really wouldn't notice unless that's kind of how you came up. But it does have the silliness and the more serious stuff. So I submitted it and I was like, okay, worst case, I get feedback. I mean, that's great. I'm in this alone. I don't know anybody else who does this. So I submitted to the contest, got paid $30 extra or whatever for some feedback. And I got it and it was all really good. I was like, man, like I didn't notice that. Yeah, that's great. This is awesome. Okay, I'm going to take this and fix it and run. And then like a week or two later, they're like, oh, you won. So you get these mentor sessions. So they paired me with 3 mentors from the comic industry. I had 2 writers and an editor, one of the editors from Aftershock Comics. And they've been like helping me shape it and mold it And then Nawel, he's the dude who runs Negative Space. He'll do touch bases with me like once a month just to kind of see where I'm at and like pick my brain with stuff. So it's been really, really helpful and just holding that story, because ultimately I want to pitch it. I want to pitch it to Image and all the big people. And if it doesn't work out that way, then maybe Kickstarter is the way I go, or make it a webcomic or something like that.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, it had to feel awesome that you got all this feedback, even, you know, after you won. And
yeah, and then even when I was doing my edits, I was like, man, this is garbage. Like, to me, because I'm really hard on myself. So it was just cool. It felt really validating, especially like, you know, the contest was in the fall, and that's about when I moved here. I moved here at the very end of summer. So that was just really validating. Like, okay, I made the right call. Like I won this thing. And Negative Space is great. If you're like a writer listening to this or an artist, check them out. They just started last year, so they're coming up on the year anniversary, but they really want to like give to the comics community and help creatives flourish. Like, they're always there if I have questions or whatever. They make themselves available, and it just feels great. And I'm learning a lot of things I didn't know, past the writing, past the drawing, things about hiring an editor, things about how a pitch should look before you send it out, what kind of things editors look for in a pitch. The stuff I kind of thought about or thought I knew but didn't until I had those conversations. So it's been really awesome.
And I was just going to ask you what some of those lessons were that you learned from the mentors that they've given you. And clearly it seems that it's going to be a very beneficial pairing with you and these other three individuals.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's one of those things. I think the hardest thing is just listening to your own voice. What is technical advice on like a technical flaw with your story versus like taste? Like, okay, they just don't like it. Mm-hmm. Or if it was a communication thing where my script didn't come across right and they weren't connecting dots. So then what can I do to communicate that better as a writer? So yeah, it's been very enlightening.
Well, on your Twitter, which by the way, the Twitter is at Rebel Art Warrior, you listed 8 ingredients that you should have for a great issue number 1. Do you remember this list?
Oh, vaguely. Okay. I feel like I need to pull it up.
Because I was going to ask, like, you know, what do you think out of those 8, what would be like the first or maybe the 2 biggest ones in your opinion that every single person that sits down to create a comic should have?
That's the thing that sucks. I honestly, in my bones, don't think there is a definitive answer. I really think those first 2 things that a person is going to gravitate towards, it's all preference. Me personally, I am very art driven. I will pick up a crappy book if the art blows me away. But that being said, I will get really turned off by bad dialogue. I hate over exposition-y dialogue. It's like a pet peeve of mine in a book, especially a first issue when the person's over explaining what's happening in an mm-hmm. unnatural way that people don't talk. That's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. Instant turn off for me.
Well, I also saw that you do commissions. That's another one of your freelance jobs. And you do a fantastic job with them. What has been the most challenging commission maybe somebody's asked you to do?
I don't think I've been unfortunate enough to have any hard ones. One, I had to do a likeness of somebody, which I never had to do before. Somebody wanted, their son had a YouTube channel, and for Christmas, she commissioned me to make his little avatar. So she wanted it to look like him. So she sent me like all these family photos. So that took a few tries. Like, okay, like I want to make sure he looks like him. And it's your kid. If I botch it, I'm ruining your kid's Christmas. So that was kind of stressful.
What's the most popular one? And I assume that as the movies come out and television shows come out, that changes, that you might, you know, I'm assuming Doctor Strange is probably pretty hot right now, whereas maybe a couple of years ago it was the Avengers or whatnot. Or am I totally off base with that?
Well, no. So I haven't even done a lot. So every time I've been commissioned, okay, it was usually something original. I've been commissioned for album art. I got commissioned for a logo for like a Facebook group. They wanted me to draw, but in my like kind of comic-y art style. But nobody has commissioned me to do a character yet.
Oh, okay. Would you be up for doing that? Like if somebody came to you and said, hey, can you whip up Deadpool for an example?
I'd prefer that. That would be way more fun than just pulling something out of the blue, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I'd much prefer that.
Okay. Well, let's start kind of wrapping up a couple of things. First off, I guess this is going to be the hardest question maybe for you. Dream comic to work on. Like if Marvel or DC or Image or Boom or whoever called and said, hey, man, Robbie, pick any character in our catalog. Which one would you pick?
Oh, man. I would love to do something with Swamp Thing. I think it's very untapped. There's so much room with that character to do crazy stuff. Final answer, Swamp Thing.
Okay. Who are some of your inspirations?
Oh, boy. A lot, man, from comics to movies. I like a lot of people whose names I can't pronounce, like a lot of concept artists from other countries that I follow on social media. There's a girl I really like. Her name's Anna Katish, C-A-T-T-I-S-H. She does really, really cool character designs. It's a really neat urban mixed with almost manga type style. I love directors. I'm a big fan of like Wes Anderson, very like intricate director type stuff. And then comic wise, I never thought about it. I just spend money on the things and read them and put them away. but like all the names you've heard of, probably like Neil Gaiman, Jim Lee, like everything inspires me. I don't think even the crappy stuff inspires me.
Okay. Good answer. All right, let's talk about some new projects coming up. What do you got coming down the pike that we haven't maybe touched base on? What's in the arsenal for Raw Comics?
The big thing, I'm very excited about. It is a project I've been working on for years called Oxblood, Untold Legends of Paul Bunyan. It is a mix of American folklore with Native American myths and high fantasy. So it's a reimagined version of the early American frontier where all of the American folk heroes kind of coexist together. But there's also dragons and goblins and magic. Very excited about that. It started as a comic, and Rocket Punch Susie was my, if I can do six of these, I can do Oxblood because it's going to be more long form. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get that discipline of like, if I can just knock six of these out, I can learn from that and then pitch this long thing. But then somewhere along the line, I started freelancing for a company helping them develop animated pitches mm-hmm. for like animated projects for TV and for film. And I learned so much doing that. You know, I'll help tweak like the PowerPoint presentations or write up character bios and stuff. And I just kind of switch gears. I'm like, okay, I think Oxblood should be an animated thing. So I've been working on my pitch deck for that, finalizing character designs, and hopefully can pitch that end of the year, early next year.
Cool. That sounds really interesting. I kind of dig those kind of, I call it when worlds collide type of stories. I dig that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Cool. Well, let's talk about rawcomics.com, and it's rawcomix.com. Why'd you call it Raw Comics? Like, and obviously you use Raw as a nickname as well. Why that word, if I may ask?
So my dad, he was a big inspiration to me. It's weird. I didn't meet my dad till I was 13, but I'd always been into comics, and the way I met him was like the weirdest friggin' thing. Because I'd moved around my whole life. So I moved between Florida, Alabama, Pennsylvania, where in Pennsylvania, my mom was working at a human resource place, staffing for temp workers. And her job was to interview the people that wanted temp jobs. And every time she saw somebody from where she met my dad in New Jersey with my dad's last name, she would be like, hey, do you know this guy? He's the father of my child. We lost contact. Like, we were in each other's lives. They never got married. They were kind of like a fling, like when my mom was young. So she found a dude. This guy was like, yeah, that's my cousin. Like, he actually hired a private eye to find you guys one time because he lost contact. Like, all his letters he was sending were getting returned. He didn't know you moved, whatever. So I met my dad, and here he was making comics with my uncle. And it was just so weird. Like, I was always into like hip hop and graffiti and Star Wars. And my dad was a graffiti artist. He is like they wrote a newspaper article about him in the Philly Inquirer. for like a mural he did in the 80s or 90s. He collected all things Star Wars. He had like every Star Wars piece of memorabilia, but his graffiti tag was War, and that's just what everybody called him. And when his friends met me, they were like, oh my God, you're like a mirror image of your father. That's what everybody would say. You are a mirror image. So I flipped it. Just War, just flipped it into Raw.
Okay, man, that's one cool story. That's a hell of a cool story on that. I'm serious. I did not anticipate that going that way, but that's awesome, man. Well, all right, let's talk about got any appearances coming up? I know I ran into you and met you at CXC, and you were down at Fanboy Expo, which, you know, unfortunately, we kind of crossed paths because I kind of remember seeing you there, but we just didn't connect. So you got any other appearances coming up in the next few weeks or months or whatnot?
Wow, there's one in Dayton in July. I forget what it's called. I'm on the wait list and fingers crossed hoping, because I've heard some people say they have to cancel their tables. So I'm hoping I'll get the word that I can sneak in there.
Is I just forget Gem the name City? Of that con.
Possibly. I think that's the one. I'll say yes.
I think that's Gem City that's in July. I think towards the end of July?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then I got Streetcast Zine Fest. That's August 13th. Forget where it is, but I'm sure Google will tell you. And then I'm sharing a booth with a few people at Cartoon Crossroads.
Oh, cool. Excellent. All right. Well, let's hit those websites, social media and whatnot, so people can keep tabs on you so they can find out where you're going to be, the status of your projects and all that jazz.
Yeah. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram at Rebel Art Warrior. Or rawcomicswithanx.com.
There you go. Robbie, thanks, man, for sitting down and chatting with me. This has been fun.
Thank you. It's been really fun.
All right. And when you get that Oxblood project off the ground, we'll have to sit back down and talk.
Oh, heck yeah, man. I'll have to send you some stuff on the DL.
Okay. You got it. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, Robbie, thanks again. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Robbie Raw Melendez, talking about his various projects, including Rebel Roach versus Rocket Punch Susie. Definitely check out all the stuff that Robbie has going on over at rawcomics.com. That's rawcomix.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD Cast. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds for the podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. And you can also shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And maybe there's a few folks that you want to hear the PVDcast, but you're like, I don't know where to tell them to go. Well, it's real easy. Just go to pvdcast.com. That's the online home of yours truly. Or you can find episodes through all of those major podcasting applications, you know, like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, John Orlando, and you should be able to find it. And folks, I need you to rate and review if you listen to any episode of the PVD Cast. It helps me out in the ratings. It helps me out in the algorithm. It lets these outlets know that you're listening. And I really would appreciate it. Just give, you know, whatever rating you think I deserve. And maybe just a quick little one or two or three words in the comments there. I would appreciate it. And of course, I need to let you know that you can subscribe as well. That should be the third thing that you do. Rate, review, and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. If that's too much to remember, ladies and gentlemen, I even have an easier way where you can hear this great podcast. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I play the weekly episode through the Facebook page of the PVD Cast. And you can listen to it. You can make comments and whatnot, and I'll respond back. It's a little good way to be interactive and an easy way to hear the PVD Cast. But I have to fill you folks in that next Monday there will not be a Facebook broadcast because I am going to Rhode Island for the week to visit my mom and stepdad. So I will not have a new episode of the PVD cast next week. Longtime listeners know it's a common occurrence that in the summer I take a week off to go visit friends and family up in New England. And, you know, it's just my way to kind of disconnect and just relax and recharge the batteries. But I will be back June 30th with a great episode. So there will not be a new episode on the 23rd, nor a Facebook broadcast on the 27th of June. Things will go back to normal on the 30th. So with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. I'm going to go pack my bags for Rhode Island. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and most importantly, stay safe and healthy, folks. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.